Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, page 818 in your pew Bibles. This story jumps around a little bit, and it is a story of another time when Jesus broke a rule, and for all the right reasons. So Mark chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews, they do not eat unless they have thoroughly washed their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition." Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story goes about a family who was in church with their young children, and it was their habit to sit down front, right in the front row, so that the kids could see everything that was happening up front. Well, during one particular service, the pastor was baptizing a little baby, and the little 6-year-old girl in the family watched this, and she was paying such close attention, noticing that the pastor was saying some words and pouring water over this little baby's head. And then with a puzzled look on her face, she turned to her father and said, "Daddy, why is she brainwashing that little baby?" Well, there's something actually quite right and profound about that statement about brainwashing a baby, because to be a Christian is to allow our brains, our minds, to be washed. And not just our brains, but our hearts as well. Today's reading is all about laws and regulations around purity of heart and mind and soul, and what makes for cleanliness in the eyes of God and what does not. But it starts with a discussion about hand washing. And we all know how important hand washing is, right? But while for us, hand washing is all about sanitation, for the Jews, it was about so much more than that. The Pharisees, you see, they question Jesus on why he approaches the table with unwashed, defiled is the word, it means dirty, hands. And the Pharisees were especially religious, leaders who knew all there was to know about the cultures and traditions of being Jewish. And they were responsible for maintaining what were called the purity laws. And these were laws which were in place to preserve Jewish identity amidst the cultural diversity of the day. But what happened was that the Pharisees became preoccupied with every little detail and doing everything just so, focusing too much on the letter of the law and completely forgetting the spirit. They were so concerned with how to conduct their rituals that they forgot the reason why they had their rituals in the first place, which was to honor God and to give him glory. And so Jesus is trying to get them and us to move how we practice our faith beyond merely habit into a deeper relationship with God. So how are we like the Pharisees? In what ways do we here engage in ritual purity? At church, we certainly can get stuck in the way we've always done things. We get more interested sometimes in preserving the institution instead of sharing the faith. Some changes we have made in the last decade have met with resistance. Our desire to make our fall harvest fair a mission, the changes like that have been hard for some. Improving our welcome by making our hallway downstairs inviting and informative, more modern, some of these changes have been hard for some. But there's also individually, in our personal lives, ways that we can get caught up in habits, our chores, our tasks, expectations around our careers and success, and we can end up neglecting those who are right close to us. We can chase material success as most important instead of using our success as a means to help build the kingdom of God. And of course, if we want to be reminded about what goes on in an impure heart, we can go right back to that laundry list that Jesus gives us today, things that are as present now as they were in his time: theft, murder, adultery, envy, wickedness, fornication, deceit, licentiousness. I had to look that up. That means being promiscuous, slander, pride, foolishness. There's something in that list for all of us. When Jesus says there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but things that come out are what defile, he is saying that it is the heart, the mind, the spirit that matter. Jesus is moving religion from an outward act of piety, what we do, to an inward act of purity, why we do it. It's about being the same person inwardly as outwardly. It's living from the inside out. But this is not only about what goes on in our private hearts and minds. So much of spirituality these days is really all about us, focusing on feeling good, being at peace inwardly, having a positive mindset. But Jesus is not talking about these things, at least not in and of themselves. The point is not that we feel good or have the right attitude and then keep that all to ourselves inside of us. He is saying that it's what comes out of our heart that matters. How we live makes a difference. Elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of James, James says, "Be doers of the word, not just hearers." Christian faith is about developing habits of the heart and the mind that then actually show up in how we live and act and treat others and spend our time and spend our money, all of which should glorify God. When who we are on the inside does not match how we live on the outside. It's like what Walker Percy said, getting an A+ in ethics, but flunking at actual life. How we live does matter. And how we live should be grounded in our hearts, and our hearts should be grounded in Christ. So how are we doing? Are we trying to conform to the laws and traditions of our faith, but inwardly really are empty? Suze Orman, a financial planner and author of the book, The Courage to Be Rich, tells of her successful career and then a time in it when she was not so successful. But during that time, she struggled to save face, and so she needed to maintain her image of success. And so she continued to entertain her friends at fancy restaurants and to drive her luxury car and keep up this image of a successful professional. The truth was that every dinner and every car payment, every tank of gas was putting her deeper and deeper into debt. Many Christians are like that. We look good. We keep up appearances, but inwardly, we're a mess. And the more we try to conform on the outside, without the honesty of our heart, the worse off we get. I have heard people say, "It is hard for me to go to church because my life is so messed up right now, and what I see are beautiful, perfect people." No, we're all messed up on the inside, right? But what about when we are a mess on the inside and the message is get your heart right, yet still our hearts carry the burden of envy and worry that we're not good enough, and we hold on to resentment so long that forgiveness seems impossible, and our mistakes, big and small, haunt us late into the night? Well, then we really need Jesus. What we cannot do for ourselves, God does for us in an act of pure mercy and love. Our sinful past is forgiven and forgotten by God each and every day. We are given strength and courage to get through. Each and every day, we are reunited with God in a new relationship with a fresh start. Because the heart of the problem is really a problem of our hearts. And we do not always have the ability to have a clean heart. Living from the inside out includes not always having the will or the strength to have that clean heart. Living from the inside out means leaving ourselves open to being changed by God. It is knowing that by His grace, God will intervene and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so we need Jesus. And we need each other to remind each other about all this when we begin to doubt that it's true, or when we're just too weary to remember. And we need the church to gather and empower and encourage to do more than we ever could imagine or accomplish by ourselves. To lift up the name of Jesus and to point to all the ways that God has triumphed over the impossible. When Jesus schooled the Pharisees 2,000 years ago, He gave us a clear message also. Don't get stuck in ruts of habits that distract from pointing to Jesus. Align everything with the will of God. Be willing to do things differently, because while the good news never changes, the world we're living in always does. And so we come to church each Sunday, willing to let the Spirit of God change us, knowing that it is not our works nor our purity of heart that saves us. It is through our relationship with Christ, where we are forgiven, restored, healed, and renewed, and changed into the people that God wants us to be. This is what it is to have our hearts washed clean so that we can live from the inside out. giving God the glory. May it really be so for us. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to the blue insert you'll find in your bulletins. We say this every week, and people have said to me that it feels like a habit that doesn't have meaning anymore. Several years ago, I preached every week through this for 14 weeks to really learn about what this creed is and what it means to say it. And it is hard for things we say all the time to not fall into that habit and rut. So I invite you, as we say it today, to let a certain word or a phrase or an image speak to your heart. And if that means reading, I know a lot of us have it memorized, but if that means reading it so you can see it, maybe change your habit. Maybe read it for once. Or if you read it all the time, try not reading it. Let's rise as you're able and join me in this creed, the faith of the church. I believe in the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.